Welcome to the CGN Mission and Methods Podcast, Season 4. My name is Nick Cady. I'm the pastor of Whitefields Community Church in Longmont, Colorado, and I will be your host this season. The goal and vision of this podcast is that it would be a forum for communication about Calvary Global Network. We want to share with you some of the stories about what God is doing. We want to talk about some of the initiatives we're involved in spearheading, and we want to answer the questions you might have about who we are as a network. On the episodes in this season, I'm joined by Pastor Brian Broderson, the founder and president of CGN and the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, California. For season 4 of the podcast, Brian and I will be interviewing the members of the CGN executive team so you can get to know their stories, hear about their ministries and the roles they play in CGN, and find out what they're excited about for the future. In this episode, Pastor Brian and I speak with Brian Kelly. Brian is the pastor of West Church in Bradenton, Florida. Prior to planting West Church, Brian and his wife Lynn spent several years as missionaries and church planters all over the world. In this discussion, Brian shares how God led him to places as diverse as Africa and New Zealand, and the blessings and challenges of ministering in those places. He also discusses the work he's currently involved in, equipping and encouraging new church planters and missionaries with the Cultivate Initiative, and what he's excited about for the future of CGN. Here's the episode. Welcome to the Mission and Methods Podcast. This is Nick Cady, and I'm joined today by Brian Broderson and Brian Kelly. Could we call you Brian? Which one's the greater?
Well, this is Brian. Brian Kelly is Brian the Less.
Did you dub him that?
No, he dubbed himself that. He's a humble guy. Though?
No, we were sitting together, and someone said Brian, and we both looked, and they said, no, Brian the Greater.
And you're
Brian the Lesser.
You assumed yes. that wasn't you. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so I'm here with Brian Broderson, Brian Kelly. On this season of Mission and Methods, we are interviewing the members of the executive team. We want you, our listeners, to get to know them, hear their hearts, hear about their experiences in ministry. And we want you to know what experiences they've had so that you can connect with them, and also so that you know who the people are who are leading this network of churches, this family of churches, into the future. So Brian, welcome. We're glad to have you.
Are you talking to me or? Just kidding.
Perhaps, yeah. Whoever wants to answer. I'm glad you're both here. Brian, the Lesser, Brian Kelly, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where do you serve? And tell us about the journey that God's led you on leading up to where you're at now.
Okay, sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show, Nick and Brian. I'm originally from California. I was born in San Luis Obispo, but I was raised in New Mexico. And went to Calvary Chapel Bible College in the late 90s, and when I first moved down to Marietta, and have been kind of a missionary church planter ever since. I'm married to beautiful wife Lynn and three kids. Judah, he's 22 now, who he just got engaged recently.
Yeah, I was wondering.
So, did you hear about that?
I think I did, yeah.
Yeah, he did. So he's working at a mission organization here in Florida. And my daughter Julia, who got married a year and a half ago,
I remember that.
To Gavin, and they're helping us here at the church. We're in Bradenton, Florida. And then our youngest, Liana, she was not a big fan of Brian Broderson.
But she is now.
She is now. Yeah, she said.
She gave me a hug.
Yep.
I feel so good. I bore the guilt of that misstep for so long, you know.
Yeah, and that's part of my story here, so we can get to that.
We'll get to it. I can't wait.
I mean, I usually have such a great relationship with young people, and I just, I just really, really...
You messed this one up.
Messed it up. Yeah, I'm just so thankful that I'm forgiven.
All right, so tell us a bit more, and hopefully we'll hear the story.
Yeah. So we were missionaries in East Africa for 10 years. We were part of a church planting team in Kampala, Uganda, and I was 23, my wife was 22. And we moved over with, I was 20, yeah, 23, 22. We moved over with a one-year-old, and Lynn was pregnant. And, you know, we just felt like God was calling us there. We wanted to go on the mission field. I've had a heart for missions ever since Bible college. Missionaries would come and speak, and, you know, you hear that, and that was something that we wanted to do. So we went with the team there, and it's kind of a cool story how we got there. But anyway, we were in Uganda for 10 years and planted Calvary Chapel Kampala. And that's still going strong. Pastor Zeddy is there now. And we moved back from Uganda to San Diego. Our adopted sending church. We were sent out of a little church in Montana, but we were then later adopted. They were unable to support us and all that. But we were adopted by Maranatha Chapel, Pastor Ray Bentley, who they would come over every year, and he mentored me and kind of taught me what it was to be a pastor. I became the senior pastor of that church in that first year that we were there. Hmm. And so moved back to San Diego. I was a missions pastor there at Maranatha Chapel for 3 years, and we started a young adult ministry there as well called The Bridge, and just really getting to sit under great Bible teaching. And but I had a great time there, and Pastor Ray, who is with the Lord now, was really a great, he's such a good example of just a kind, you know, it was a mega church, but just really personable and kind, spirit-filled guy. So we felt the desire to plant a church. You know, it's, they would ask some of the other pastors on staff, were like, you know, you've got a great job here. You've got a paycheck. You can kind of do what you want ministry-wise. Why would you ever want to leave and start something new? But that's just kind of how we feel like we're wired, is to do that pioneering stuff, church planting, mission work. So we went up to Washington State, just north of Wayne Taylor, and we went up there and connected with him and planted the church in Bellingham, Washington, which is on the border with Canada. In the downtown area, it's a very liberal place there, pretty dark place spiritually and physically, rains all the time. But we planted a church there, and we were there for 4 years, and that church is still going strong. Pastor JJ is up there doing an awesome job. You know JJ.
Yeah, I knew JJ when I was in high school because I worked at a snowboard shop in Colorado. We had common friends, and JJ was sponsored by Solomon. He was a snowboarder.
Yep.
And so, yeah, Bellingham is a big skiing, snowboarding area.
It is, yeah, Mount Baker.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why I loved it. I mean, it got kind of depressing up there, though, because of the rain and everything. But we were up there for 4 years, and then church was going great, and JJ was there, and some other guys were working together. And got a call from a very, very good friend from Africa, Doug and Destiny Calhoun, who were missionaries in East Africa at the same time we were with Calvary Chapel. And they had gone to New Zealand to take over a Calvary Chapel church there. And I made a joke like, you know, hey, because we want to come visit them. Everybody wants to go to New Zealand and visit. I know you love New Zealand.
I do. That's
and
part
Leanna,
of the, part
Leanna
of the,
doesn't.
Part of the bigger story here.
Yeah. And, you know, I would always communicate with him, talk back and forth. And it was kind of like, we're going to come visit you one day. We got to get down there. And I made a joke. I remember texting him. I made a joke like, hey, if you hear of any churches that, you know, the pastor wants to retire or they need a new pastor down there, let me know. Like, LOL. Mm-hmm. So he's like, as a matter of fact, and he had been in conversation just that week before I made the joke, which he was in conversation with Brian Hughes, who had planted the Calvary Chapel, Auckland in New Zealand 20 something years ago, and was looking for someone to come and, you know, take over the church and kind of take it in a new direction. And we, you know, long story short, he's like, as a matter of fact, I do. I was just talking to someone. Can I have him call you? And then he called me and we talked on the phone for an hour. And he said, yeah, when can you come? Can you be here, you know, a few months? And so we prayed about it and everything. And that it seemed like that open door. And JJ, who had a desire to plant in Bellingham, he's a local guy, you know, Colorado and then up in Bellingham. But he took over the church there. We went to New Zealand and I became the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Auckland in New Zealand. We were there for 2 years, only 2 years. We planned to be there much longer. We had a close friend of mine, pastor and mentor, tell me that it was God's will for me to stay there.
Okay, let me jump into this. Yeah, so I knew Brian Hughes was a good friend of mine as well. So I had already, you know, been to New Zealand a few times. You know, been with Brian and with the church. We did a radio network all throughout New Zealand and some of the islands in that part of the world. And so when Brian Hughes was retiring, I was just thinking, man, this church really needs, you know, it just really needed the right person. And when I heard that Brian Kelly was the guy, I was so thrilled. I just thought this is going to be the greatest thing that could happen to this church. And sure enough, Brian went and God was really using him and the church was growing and the culture was shifting in a really good, you know, positive way. And it just seemed like, man, you know, this is just going to be, it's just going to get better and better. Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic.
The pandemic.
It's what happened, right? I mean, that was, that was kind of the nail in the coffin, really, yeah. wasn't it?
Well, New Zealand shut down hardcore.
Yeah, like
they were
hardcore.
Really hardcore. Yeah. They actually eradicated COVID in the middle of it for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
We were out, you know, doing whatever rugby games and everything, and the rest of the world was shut down.
Yeah.
Because it had been, borders were closed, like literally, you could not come in or out.
Yeah. So during that time, your older kids had come back to the States.
Yes. So Judah, our oldest, was at Calvary Chapel Bible College, and Julia was also at our second oldest. She was 17 at the time, almost 18. Mm. And Judah was, and so they were in the States. And when they announced the borders were going to be shut, nobody can come in. We had work permits. We had visas to be there and everything. But unless you were if you were a New Zealand citizen, you could only come in if you paid $5,000 per person and went to a military guarded hotel for 2 weeks and stayed in your room as a quarantine measure. Like, it was extreme.
Crazy.
So even the population, the New Zealand population was not, they were staying put.
Hmm.
So we couldn't leave to go to the States and come back. If we left, we couldn't come back for who knew how long. It ended up being, you know, a long time, the majority of the pandemic like that. But, and then they couldn't come over to us, even though they were our children, and Julia, even being underage at the time, could not come into the country.
Yeah.
Literally was not allowed in, even though her parents were there. We would have to go. We'd have to leave.
Yeah. So, all these dynamics were at work. And before it got to the, because I had just been there not that long ago.
Yeah.
And
we'd,
you know, been together and had a great time and just, you know, sort of talking about the future and what the Lord could do.
Got some good coffee. They had good coffee.
Yeah. We had a great time. And then, you know, Brian's telling me, and you know, let's be honest, you didn't really want to leave either.
Yeah. You know, I kind of thrived in New Zealand because it's culturally, and we did a podcast episode with Bill Welsh, who planted in Australia, and he told me something. He said, it's deceptively similar, the culture is, to America. I thrived there because Kiwis, that's the New Zealand people, tend to be more reserved. They tend to be not so like outgoing or talkative. Like, Americans are known for being, you know, loud Americans and, you know, talk with our hands and actually have fun and, you know, they have fun there. But I thrive there because I'm like an introverted person. I don't like talking to people that much. So I'm like, you know, I'll just nod to people on the road and be just fine.
Yeah.
My wife is very expressive and has kind of an Italian, Lebanese background, and her family is, it's always loud at their house, and in a good way, you know, it's a really good, a positive trait of hers, in case she's listening right now. But it's, and then my daughter Liana is like that too. So she did not really click with the culture there very well, both Lynn and Liana. And so it was a struggle, and Liana in school and everything would get bullied a little bit because she was, one of the teachers said she was, some of the other teachers, this teacher was saying about her, some of the other teachers find her confidence offensive. Like, she was too
confident.
You know, and here in America, we're like, you need to be the bad, you got to be confident and go get them. So it's just a different culture, not better or worse. It was just the way it was, it ended up being. So it was a struggle, a tough time, but I did love it there. I loved mountain biking
and
there.
So I had sort of, beaches. You know, said to Brian, like, hey, I think you need to stay. You know, you need to press through this season. God's
doing something. Difficult season, you can do it.
And boy, that just put me in the doghouse big time.
your daughter overheard this?
Oh, she found out. Yeah, she overheard and she found out, and she was not happy with him. She was ready to come back.
How dare him.
Be in America again.
Trying to,
she was like 15 at the time. You know, it was.
But you've patched it up.
Well, you know, just like yesterday.
Wow.
I'm
glad to hear
how
that.
How many years later, you know?
Maybe.
We were meeting at Brian's house yesterday for, you know, a board meeting. And she walked in on us and like, who are these strange men?
Yeah, she told me.
And I was out of the room. And when I walked in, she looked at me and her eyes got really big. And she's like, oh,
like,
Brian Brotherson, what are you doing here? And I said, oh. Wait, come on. You've forgiven me, right? So, yeah, it was sweet. It was a sweet moment.
Yeah, that's good.
She's grown so much in her faith, too, and just her She's forgiven him a long time
ago.
Oh,
that's
but
good.
It's a funny story.
Maybe
at the time, she was really upset,
luck,
though.
Right? Yeah, she really was.
She was upset at
but,
the time.
But again, it was one of those things, you know, and obviously in the end, I was like, well, your family's a priority. You need to what you need to do. But and the Lord did an amazing thing with that church, right? Because your assistant who had come alongside early, a great young guy that we know, Jordan Walsh, the Lord raised up Jordan to take the church, and
he was hesitant at first because he's a young guy, and you know, I believed him. I saw the gifting, and he grew up in a Christian family and ministry families
in Hungary.
I knew
the Walsh family, of course, because they were at Calvary Bible College in Hungary.
So they were doing the Bible College there in New Zealand.
Yep.
But Jordy came up and was the assistant pastor with me for a while.
That's great.
And became the pastor. He's doing awesome.
Yeah. So now you've come back to the U.S. and then what? Then what happened? I mean, we already told people we're here in Florida.
Yeah. We're here in Florida, Bradenton, Florida, which is just south of Tampa. And this was a unique, I shared a little bit, we're at a little gathering here right now, but I shared a little bit with the group last night that I really, up to this point, have always kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do. I felt like God is calling us to do. Lynn is very instrumental in that. She hears from the Lord very clearly and, you know, direction and stuff too. So we work together on that. But, you know, it's always been like, let's go to Uganda. There's an open door. Let's take it. Here's how we're going to get there. And let's, and you know, just seeing the future, seeing kind of having vision. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Having vision to come back, you know, wow, to work with Ray and to kind of be mentored, you know, and to do mission work on top of that and get to travel and stuff. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. Planting the church in Washington, strategized about it, you know, made plans, got a group together. You know, we're working with the Cultivate church planting thing, you know, just kind of going through those steps of getting there and making it happen. I mean, the Lord makes it happen, but we're following that leading. And then to New Zealand, the doors opened up and it's a great opportunity. Everything fits into place. You know, we see what could be, you know, you see a church that has such great potential that had, you know, was a great foundation built already and just taking off of that. And then, but then when this happened, it was like, I could just cut into the ideas that we had, the plans that we had. We had planned to be there much longer and to come back to nothing. And it, and I shared this, that there was in my, I don't know if it was a vision or just an overwhelming feeling for a couple of weeks of just when I tried to see like what could the future hold, I just had a blank, like darkness. That's how I described it. Just, you know, before you could kind of imagine what could happen, like where we could plant a church and what would be the people we reach. But when I looked, it was just like if you close your eyes right now and see that black, like nothing. And that doesn't mean there wasn't ideas that came into my head, you know. Maybe Brian Broderson will hire me to work at Costa.
I did think about it.
But he's the one that told me to stay in New Zealand. So, you know, that burned that bridge. but then coming back, it, you know, we landed at, you know, my wife's parents who live in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And then we spent some time at my parents' house, just kind of praying through things, talking with people, getting advice. But there was that real like hazy fog in front of us. There's no vision. And I actually thought, I mean, it sounds silly now, but I thought maybe my life is done. Maybe my ministry is done. I've been to Africa. I've planted churches. I've done mission work. I've worked at a big church. I've planted small churches, like been all over. Maybe what I'm here for is finished.
But did that have anything to do with the pandemic or was it?
I don't know. I don't think it had anything to, I don't know, because the pandemic messed all of us up because everybody was kind of like, what's going on? Like everything we kind of knew and were used to was changed. Mm-hmm. So I think that had something to do with it. Like maybe, you know, this is just the end. It sounds kind of dark.
Like you did all the things
I
that
did
God
it,
had
and
on
like
your
I
list.
Got, yeah, God had a list and that's,
you,
yeah,
you
you're
finished
done.
It maybe a few years
yeah,
early.
I finished it early and, you know, it's like, okay.
It's what you get for being an overachiever.
And so what happened? How'd you get here to Florida?
Yeah, so it's not over. Thankfully, I'm here. Still here. Still going strong. When we moved back, so when we planted the church in Washington, my brother and his wife came up with, my brother's a musician. He played music in bars and stuff, you know, in Texas and Oklahoma. And he helped us. He was kind of had a come to the Lord moment through some things, circumstances. Anyway, he helped us plant that church in Washington. And he said, you know, we're feeling like God wants to do something you know, with us, something different. They were in New Mexico at the time. If you come back and plant a church, we'll go with you anywhere you go. And I'll be the worship leader and I'll help you. I want to be a pastor. He was training in seminary to be a pastor too. And so I said, you know, I'm not really too excited about planting another church because, you know, as you know, Nick, it's not easy. It's not easy. And I didn't have Cultivate at the time. You know, yeah. I didn't have, it was just, you know, kind of do all the hard work and all that. So I thought, you know, if anything, I'd like to just maybe get a job at a church and kind of figure it out and kind of, you know, it's hard work. But then another couple from Colorado, Anya and Josiah, we'd gone to Bible college with them 20 years earlier, and they out of the blue kind of contacted us and said, hey, for some reason we've been following you guys and what you've been doing in Africa and New Zealand and stuff and church planting in Washington. We're feeling a call, like God's got something new for us. If you decide to do like a church plant, we'll come and help you with that. You know, we can get jobs and just help you. And then at the same time, my wife's brother and his wife and their family, they were in California at the time, and they were saying, we want to get out of California. Like, I don't know how much of a spiritual reason it was, but it's like during the pandemic, you know, a lot of people want to get out of California. But it was a spiritual decision they made eventually, but they said the same thing. Hey, you were thinking about going to this place in Florida called Anna Maria Island, because she does stuff on Instagram, and there was people that saying this is a kind of a hidden like gem in Florida on the Gulf Coast. We're on the Gulf Coast, and there's an opportunity to buy a 4-unit in like an Airbnb type situation, but it's like run down. Would you guys come out and pray about, like, we went on a trip with them to Bradenton, to Anna Maria Island, and would you guys pray about helping renovate that, because I've got some construction and those kind of skills. Would you help us renovate that? Once it gets going, Lynn, who does real estate and that sort of thing, she can manage it for us. And we want to also help to contribute toward the start of a church plant. So again, it was like the third person that said, if you plant a church, we're going to help make it happen. So it was almost like, you know, all these things were happening, and it was different for me because I didn't have the vision to do that or to create that, or like, God, it's kind of like, you know, here's the visionary and he's going to get this crew around him. I was very reluctant to even go, but it was kind of like, we didn't have anything else. And it seemed like God was doing something. Everybody else was the ones that had the heart and the passion. And I eventually did kind of, but we ended up here. We helped them renovate that inn. We started meeting on the beach for Bible study. So it was, you know, we do the Cultivate thing. We have all the steps and a lot of strategies for planting a church. But it was very organic in the sense that almost like those early days, you start in your home and have a Bible study and it grows into a church. That's what happened, but it wasn't the home. It was the beach. We started on the beach. We still do meet on the beach now. So it's been 2 years now, almost to the day that we moved here. And so we started on the beach, and then we got a building about a year and a few months ago, and started Sunday morning services, and people just loved because you mentioned today, Brian, there's a lot of churches in, you know, the South and here in Bradenton, but people love our motto is kind of keep it simple. Like, just stick to the basics and build relationships and teach the word and have good worship, but you don't have to go over the top with everything. And it's been really refreshing, and a lot of people have been connecting and love the ministry. Church is growing.
Yeah.
We had a huge 2 Easter services recently. So
really cool.
Yeah. And so here we are. We're doing a little gathering here. And I mean, I think if you didn't know and you just showed up here today, there's this great facility that we're in. It's just, you know, vibrant and life. And I mean, you'd think you'd been here 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yep.
You came here with nothing. God's just dropped all of this stuff in your lap.
Exactly, yeah. And it was almost frustrating along the way. I mean, we would sit together and talk with, you know, Dino, that's my wife's brother, and my brother, and Josiah, and we just kind of think about things, and they're like, you know, we need to get a building. And I'm like, well, you know, we can look around, but we're just kind of, let's just kind of relax a little bit. And we almost took, I wouldn't say too much time. It was just like things just came into place. It's hard to explain. It really is. Like this building, which is perfect for what we need.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Absolutely perfect. in a perfect location and everything, you know, through a mutual connection. You know, it used to be a Jewish synagogue, this place. It's kind of a round building and seats about 250. And has the outbuildings where the children's ministry meet. And so this Iranian guy who lived in Germany, so Anya and Josiah speak German. She's from Germany. They end up talking to this guy in German, and he's you know, talking about how he has, it hasn't even gone on, you know, the market or anything, because rental places, purchase places, hard to find for churches especially. But through this mutual contact, he's like, yeah, I have this place. There was a church that met there for a while, but really nothing came of it. And if you want to rent it, I'll rent it to you. I haven't even put it on the market yet. So we did that.
That's awesome. You know, there's something I've always thought, like, this is funny because, like, the first time we planted the church, I felt like after it got off the ground, I was like, that was a miracle. Like, some of those things that happen, like you're talking about, these connections that happen and these relationships, and then this happens, and you're like, that was a miracle. And then I was thinking about, okay, but if we start another one, like, I don't know if I can churn up a miracle, man. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
And that's like a pressure.
There's no steps to that. It's like... Yeah.
And so I don't know.
Step one, have a miracle.
Yeah. But I think it's also just as you walk with the Lord and as you follow his leading, it's really cool how you end up with, now you've planted churches now on several continents, different parts of the U.S. And so maybe you can do, is it called the Grand Slam? Is there a name for it?
You know, I really, at one time I had a vision to plant a church on every continent. But then I thought about Antarctica and I'm like, it's a continent and it wouldn't really... I'm kind of OCD, so if it didn't happen there, it didn't
count. You can't stop with six.
Yeah, New Zealand's not really a continent. I mean, come on, it's an island, you know?
Yeah. It counts.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about, okay, ministry in Africa, ministry in New Zealand, Oceania, and now on both coasts in the U.S., very different places, even within the United States. Like, how have these different contexts shaped the way that you think about, say, the global mission of God and about church and ministry?
Yeah, well, I've always thought that missionaries make the best church planters because you have to be able to go in and adapt to the cultures. You don't compromise on the gospel or anything like that, of course. But I feel like every place we go, one of the gifts that both Lynn and I and our family, like our kids too, have had is an ability to be kind of relatable to people. And that goes in Uganda. I mean, it took a while to learn there, but you know, we had people think about, oh, it must have been hard in Africa, but it really, in Uganda, Africa's not a country, it's a continent. So it's funny, a lot of people say, oh, you're in Africa? Well, that's a big country. Who's the president of Africa? There's so many different cultures and countries. And Uganda is a Christian nation, and, you know, it's very, looks favorably, you know, towards Americans and that sort of thing. And speaks English. It's the national language. A lot of people don't know that. Everybody's first language is their tribal language. And there's dozens of those. But then their second language is the national, which is English. Then East Africa is Swahili. So you can, you know, most everybody you talk to in the city speaks three languages, except for me. I only speak one.
Yeah.
And a little bit of Espanol. So, but that didn't help. So having to, or getting to kind of learn and understand the culture in these different places is really beneficial. But also in seeing that there's similarities everywhere you go too. So I think that's what you're getting at, is the mission of God in all these places is people are people wherever you go. They have a cultural shell that they're living in, but they all have the same needs and desires, and it manifests a little bit differently here and there. But finding that out is really strategic in figuring out how to meet those needs with Christ. That's the message that we have.
Yeah.
So it's been really, I think, good. And I really appreciated the different cultures, especially in Africa and New Zealand, I could say too, which is a non-US culture. Believe me, Florida's a different culture too. So
especially from the Pacific Northwest.
Oh yeah. That's a different culture too. I mean, that's extreme.
Yeah.
That's like a tough place. Yeah. You know, it's almost the opposite statistically of the Christians versus no religion.
Yeah.
To the rest of the United States where we were. So it was a different challenge altogether. But in places like Uganda and even New Zealand, but especially in Uganda, you discover what really is important about the gospel and about our faith and what is kind of secondary or cultural baggage that we hold on to. And it's an advantage for people. I encourage people to get involved in missions, maybe not if they're going to go on the mission field themselves, but just to understand, like, we as Americans tend to be so, I'm trying to find the right word, not closed-minded, but just short-sighted, that we are the only ones that matter, or that are the way we see our faith and the scripture and cultural issues. But when you start to live in other places, for example, in Uganda, some of our very closest friends besides the Ugandan community that we loved and ministered with and to were other missionaries and expats, people that were there for business that were from England and, you know, all over Europe and different parts of America, Australia. And, you know, it opened our eyes to, like, because we grew up in a very, well, I grew up in a very conservative kind of church. It was a Church of Christ in New Mexico. No instruments and or anything. It was a good church, good people, but a lot of rules, you know, tended to be a little bit legalistic. And then going into Calvary Chapel, which, you know, had, at in my experience, had some of the, you know, unspoken rules, like, this is what we do and this is the people we do hang out with as far as ministry wise, and this is who you don't. And you'd go to the conferences. I remember going to the pastor's conference for the first time with a pastor friend of mine from Georgia. I was like, it was awesome because there were Bible teaching and stuff, but I tended to learn some other things that weren't so awesome about, you know, we're doing it right and everybody else is doing it wrong. I think every denomination has it. But kind of going on the mission field and ministering with evangelical Anglicans and Presbyterians and Pentecostals and those sorts of people that were, you know, ministering together for whatever project was happening was really eye-opening to see the mission of God is bigger than our group. It's happening, and we're going to get to have the advantage of contributing our, what we have to give. We have a lot to give to this bigger work of God that's happening in these places. So mission life, really, that was one of the things that was the biggest eye-opener to me. And it's like, wow. So some of our best friends, we just went and saw them in San Antonio, Texas, Bobby and Downey Mickler, Presbyterian church. And I remember hanging out with them and just kind of thinking, you know, these are nice people to hang out with, but, you know, we're going to have to teach them a few things because, you know, do you do verse by verse? Do you, you know, do you have the Calvary distinctives?
Yeah.
Okay, here you go.
Yeah, and be a real Christian. Have a talk.
Yeah. But then discovering, man, this guy's, you know, in many ways, like, I'm learning, I'm gleaning, I'm like seeing, wow, this guy really, like, loves people and knows the word and and all this stuff, and just eye-opening. Mm. And it was really good for me to see that we're part of a bigger picture. And so I think that's one of the biggest
What would you say to somebody who's like, well, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know if I can go move to Africa and learn how to be missional so that I can come back, you know, to wherever I am, where God's called me to be. Like, what would you tell them are some ways that they can learn those things or implement those things?
Yeah, you're just going to have to go and do it. And some people have a gift to do that. All of us are called to be missionaries. I think that's what people just need to understand right away. There's a calling you have, and it's none of it's easy. But, you know, I think people would be surprised at what they could actually do if they tried. And that's one of the things that we learned early on is, you know, Lynn always describes it as having a little bit of faith and a lot of stupidity. You know, why are you going to move to Africa when you're pregnant and have a one-year-old and don't have enough support? You know, is we feel like God's calling us to do it and kind of maybe a little bit dumb. Maybe we should wait. But, you know, we didn't wait and we did it and it worked out wonderfully. Hmm. It was difficult. But I think people don't see what's possible with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says that God uses the foolish things of the world. He uses the weak things of the world. He uses the people that don't know what they're doing to be able to minister his power and grace to a world that is so prideful. And I think if you think you have a disadvantage to it, get training. I would say that first and foremost. If you say, what's one of the things I look back on and say, I wish I would have done, get more training. Because it was kind of one of those things in the early days, like if you get training or counseling or anything, it's like you don't have faith.
Yeah.
We're like, we got faith, watch. Yeah. And then we made a lot of mistakes.
I think almost everybody, and Nick, you went too. I met Nick. I don't know if you know this. I met Nick when I think he just turned 18.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I met him in Hungary. He's 18 years old. He looks like he's 12 when he's 18. Yeah. So I'm like, who is this kid? What is he following us around for? Where is he from? You know, I find out, oh, he's here from, you know, Denver, and he's, you know, but you know, I was the person that kind of was the tip of the spear into a lot of the work in Eastern Europe. And we sent all of these people, and, you know, all that we really thought you needed was a guitar and some mm-hmm. Stussy clothing, because we were being sponsored by Stussy, and just making sure we were cool enough. And then, of course, we needed to know our Bibles as well. But we didn't think for a moment about cultural adaptation. Right. We didn't think like about language. What do you mean we need to learn a language, you know? but then, obviously, everybody with hindsight said, oh, gee, it probably would have been a lot better had we maybe done a little more preparation. Yeah. Nick has one of those unique gifts. So he's in the country not too long, and he's speaking fluent Hungarian. So
I can't learn another language. I don't know what's wrong with
me. I moved there when I was 12, so the cultural adaptation happened pretty easy. Yeah, yeah.
Not fair.
You weren't.
No. I was 18. Like you were 12. Yeah, I just looked like I was 12, which helped. I fit in with all the all the kids. All the middle schoolers.
I'm like, hello, fellow kids. You know that Steve Buscemi with the skateboard and the backwards hat? That was him.
But I'm with you, Brian. Unfortunately, I'm with you. I've been all over the world. I've been all these different countries. I've learned two or three words in all these different countries and forgotten all of them.
Yeah.
I was just in South America, and I just kicking myself again and again. Like, how many times have I been to Spanish-speaking countries?
Exactly.
And I can say, like adios.
My best friend's dad growing up, I was at his house every day, spoke only Spanish to him. I took Spanish in the school. I've got a problem.
Yeah.
But preparation, coming back to that, I think you can actually do some things that are going to help you, whether it's mission work or church planting or any ministry. Mm-hmm. And don't be too prideful or listen to that noise that says, you know, that's not spiritual to ask for help.
But one thing I would say too, and I think this is where we've got not only a great opportunity, but in some ways an obligation, especially if you're in a context socially where you've got a lot of diversity, that you should seek to engage with those diverse cultures rather than, you know, just being a homogenous situation where, like, okay, you know, we're going to be like, here we're surrounded with all of these, you know, maybe immigrant groups of people, maybe they're even here for a few generations now, but we're going to kind of just be like a white person church, and we're not going to open the doors or seek to kind of understand or relate to.
And there were those in Uganda when we were there in Kampala. There were those.
Yeah. And, I mean, gosh, you're like, what? What do you, why would you do that? You
know? Yeah.
When I was pastoring in London, people used to ask me, do you have an American church in London? I go,
yeah.
Why would I have an American church in London? I'd go back to America and have an American church if I wanted one.
Well, speaking of the preparation thing, and we'll wrap this up. We usually ask, like, what are you excited about for the future of CGN? I want to hear that, but I want to hear you talk about Cultivate and the podcast that you're doing with it. So,
great.
Yeah. Tell us, and how does that fit into what we're talking about with preparation?
Yeah. So I have been so blessed to be part of Cultivate. And, you know, it was Brian that invited me to this one of these vision meetings and said, hey, why don't you sit over there with this guy, Nick? I didn't know you at the time. And, you know, you've planted a few churches. Why don't you go over there and sit with them? And that kind of turned into me joining the crew of the vision that you and Kellen had kind of comprised of Cultivate church planting, how to be more intentional within CGN, Calvary Chapel, planting churches. And we've got that goal of planting 1,000 churches in 10 years, which is doable. And we did a podcast about that, Brian, you and I. But through that process of working together with you guys and strategizing about Cultivate and church planting, I think it was you, I think it was you, Nick, that said, you know, we should do a podcast about this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. And you're like, yeah, why don't you do it, Brian? I've never done one before. So I actually wanted to kind of try it.
Yeah.
And so,
you're really good at it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I like doing it. I mean, I like
asking. You are good at it. I think you did great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And so definitely listeners, please check out the Cultivate podcast. Brian has a bunch of great episodes with great guests, and he's a very good host. And so, yeah. Anything else that you're excited about in regard to the future of CGN?
Yeah, I am excited. Just, you know, thousands of churches, just spreading out and the ministry that through Pastor Chuck and the different pastors and things. But I feel like there's a new work of the Spirit happening in our day today and within Calvary Chapel and Calvary Global Network. And now that I get, I've always kind of been a participant, you know, church and, you know, have known you, Brian, and a few others, but have never really been on the inside, I guess, of what's going on. But now that I get to be part of like doing these podcasts, Cultivate, and coming to some of these meetings and being on the executive team now, now the more than ever, I believe God is going to do a new and a fresh work with CGN. And I think that it's going to be a work of the Spirit. I think it's going to be a work of church planting. And I think it's going to be a fresh work that we haven't, you know, he's going to work in similar methods, but not in the same way as he did in the past. And I think I'm excited about that. And I think we need to hold on and get ready for that. So
yeah,
that's what I'm excited about.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CGN Mission and Methods Podcast. In our next episode, Pastor Brian and I will be speaking with Clay Worrell. Clay is the executive director of Calvary Global Network, but prior to being in that position, Clay was a missionary and a pastor in Ireland and then in the Bay Area of California. Clay will be sharing insights from ministering in those places and how it has shaped him and equipped him for his current role with CGN. New episodes are released every 2 weeks, so make sure you subscribe to the podcast so those episodes will be delivered to your device as soon as they come out. We'd love to hear feedback from you on these episodes. You can email us at cgn@calvarychapel.com. And if you'd like to support this podcast, one of the best ways you can do that is by giving us a rating and review on your podcast app. Written reviews are particularly helpful in helping boost this content so other people can find it and benefit from it. Until next time, God bless you.